Kathleen McTeague, the world's possibilities shift and change each time we put ourselves into building something. I would stop right there, to building something. She says, large and strong and beautiful, we tend to sit back and say, I can't do that. The world's possibilities shift and change each time we put ourselves into building something. Large and strong and beautiful, whether or not we find room in our theologies for the word God, the world itself calls us to imagine ourselves essential to this engaged holiness. Essential to this engaged holiness. Bringing forth what is ours to give of creation and strength toward mending the broken world. Not waiting, not looking for somebody else to arrive, but imagining ourselves essential to this engaged holiness, bringing forth what is ours to give of creation and strength. The emphasis is on bringing forth. And I would say, I'm not saying that to you, I'm saying that to me, because it's so easy for me to go back and just be distracted, entertained, do something that has really nothing to do with bringing forth what is mine to give of creation and strength toward mending the broken world. Partly that's because I always go, these issues are so big and I'm so small, but partly my perception of the issues being so big is because I'm watching them on the computer or the screen and listening to these great big things and then imagining myself as little and just zoning out into that space, bringing forth. John Dorhauer, who is the president of the United Church of Christ, spoke to the gathered ministers this summer at our General Assembly. And he said, faith, and I would say faith understood as meaning in and for our lives, what we should be doing with our lives, is not dead. He says, we are spiritual beings. We long to be connected to something beyond ourselves. Go back to whether or not we find room in our theologies for the word God. We long to be connected to something beyond ourselves. And we want hope that touches our hearts, that helps bring us forth. We want to be inspired to bring forth what is ours to give. As I said, that's hard to do. It's hard to imagine. We have so many ways to step back from that. It's been about 2 weeks ago since I shared the story of, I'll out her again, but Susan Harris, who's not here, but she was talking in our discussion after the service about being a Montessori school teacher and ending each day with the idea with children, so that Montessori preschool, to make a silence. It wasn't be quiet. So it created the oppositional sense or this great big sense of what it is. But it was make a silence. So every child in there was participating. Every person in here can be participating. So I took it to mean make a congregation, not make a community, not the onerous thing of let's get up and go to church. Let's go to church. But let's make the beloved community that we seek by our presence. So coming here then becomes a social action, making the choice to be here. Thomas More has a wonderful book called Care of the Soul. And he said, the ordinary acts we practice every day are of more importance to the soul than their simplicity might suggest. He actually says the ordinary acts we practice every day at home are of more importance to the soul than their simplicity might suggest. I was thinking along these lines when my friend Steve sent me a picture of a pie that they were about to eat. And it was a strawberry rhubarb pie with a lattice crust. And everything about it was there in that pie about what we're talking about. They had made a trip taken out of their schedules. Steve and Doug and Waxy, they have nicknames from beekeepers, but so it's Sticky and Waxy. And but Doug, they hadn't taken a trip in a while, but their friend Maynard called from Michigan, and he had crashed in a skiing accident in December and was still having trouble putting himself back together and getting over the pain and the depression and everything. And just in the conversation, Steve said, "We're coming." So they all arranged their schedules and traveled to spend time with Maynard. And as they were there doing that, his wife, Maylee, was making them pies. It turned out that was the fifth pie of the trip. I said it was about time to send one down here. And that's where I came up with the phrase, and it spoke to me, homemade goodness. Not out there goodness, not beyond us goodness, but goodness that I can make in the world. Goodness that I can choose with my life. Goodness that can be homemade, not store-bought, not turned on, not Papa John's delivered, but homemade. The thing about homemade is you can't wait for it. You can't sit around and just have it appear. If you want goodness in the world, you can make it. Homemade goodness. And I thought about that pie as sort of the manifestation or the incarnation of goodness. Or as looking at a pie and thinking about it almost as a symbol, as a story that inspires. But then I went, and this is the rub all the time, I went, I don't have time this week to bake pie. I don't have time to do that. So what did I do? What would you do if you didn't have time to bake a pie and you had friends? Call Becky Elston. So I asked, I reached out, I asked, can you bake me a pie? I wanted strawberry rhubarb. She said yes. I have an apple pie. It's simple. It's special. See how you're laughing? See how you feel it? See? I asked, can we do it in a way they can smell it? She said, not by the time it gets up to the podium, but you can smell it. And she's absolutely right. I have a pie. What's in an apple pie? What's in an apple pie? Apples, right? It's apples and some sugar. And then there's a little bit of flour. Maybe you put in, I think it's arrowroot or tapioca. There's some lemon juice, maybe. No, it's possible because there's a range of things. And everybody's going, no, Jim, no, you don't. Stop right there. Because I'll tell you what scares me from homemade goodness is judgment and being wrong and not doing it right. And I'm going to tell you about a pie. Yeah. I'm going to get to that. Forgot love. That's right. That's what makes it. Okay. End of sermon. Let's close it. That's exactly right. Hmm? No, there's not. Right. And then we'll do a talk on the effects of scarcity. So these ingredients, all right, so they're apples, sugar. There's got to be a little flour or something like that. And why is that? It's to hold it together so when you cut it up, the apples don't fall out the side. And then you go, you apologize for it not being. Anyway, it's also the crust. And the crust is what? It's just flour and sugar and then butter and lard and a little bit of water, maybe. But it also, it really involves, that's where the love really gets involved in how you do it. And there are special ways that you do it. Again, judgment. You can't overwork a crust and have it feel like there's love in it. If you overwork a crust, it's tough. It doesn't work. To make it flaky, how many of you, joy of cooking in your past, or Fanny Farmer's School of Cooking, that was my grandmother's. My grandmother showed me how to make crusts. And you can go, Jim, you don't really know how to make crusts. That's fine. I'm not going to bake you a pie. unless you ask. But you have to cut in the butter and the lard if you use it in a way. What do they say? What is the size? And you'll all know the size. What is the size of the dough? Pea size. Exactly. Or if you work it in with your fingers, a cornmeal texture, but be sure not to work it in too long so that you don't melt the ingredients. Anyway, my grandmother taught me during the summer that she was living with us as she had throat cancer, which she died from later that year. That's the love piece in that. Homemade goodness. So think about how Unitarian Universalism is homemade goodness. What is goodness about? Fresh ingredients. Not old ingredients, fresh ingredients. Universalism, loving God, inclusive universe, one human family, no hell. Is that a good ingredient or what? Goodness. Unitarianism, what it means to live well. And when you answer that question, it says has an exalted view of what we can be as human beings. That says there are religious exemplars. Originally it was Jesus, now it's expanded to more of those exemplars where you can ask the question, what does a meaningful life, what is it comprised of? And it really comes back to expanding your circle of compassion, sharing love in the world. Homemade. We're homemade just as apple pie. We're part of the American experience. It's not that we sit there and wait for this vision to become real in the world. We have to make it real through our actions, the way we live our lives. We say engaged, engaged in practice and service. And what does that say from our reading? It says engaged holiness. Engaged holiness, homemade goodness, not waiting for it to come, but homemade. So why is there flour in the pie filling? It's a thickener. It holds the filling together, even when it isn't handled just so. If I was to cut this and serve it up, Becky's pie would be in a pie shape. The theme for this month is covenant. We say we gathers in covenant. What does that mean? In agreement, the promise to be together, to keep forming this voluntary association. In our mission statement, covenant. Covenant is really the flower in the filling. It says we will be more than consumers who just come in, look around, see if we get what we want. If we don't, or if something happens that we get a little ticked off, we're out of here. Covenant. We agree to form this voluntary association because it's homemade goodness in the world. We promise a generosity of spirit that will reach across righteousness, helplessness, negativity, and little hurts. Bringing forth what is ours to give of creation and strength toward mending a broken world. Putting the stones in the wall back in place. Helping to bake a pie. Homemade goodness is also engaged holiness. On Friday, how many of you were here for the afternoon presentation with Charlotte Self? This room was packed. But if you think about how that happened, again, it was from the action, certainly, of Charlotte writing the book and Charlotte just being her delightful self. The book was titled let's see, the Hitler years through the eyes of a child. If you think about that, it was her doing that. But there were also articles by Ken Blackwell and Jack Prather that had been in the paper that they'd written about, and people came to be a part of this. One thing I remembered as I was sitting there is that the chalice symbol, this part of it right here, comes from World War II and the Unitarian Service Committee and their efforts to get refugees out of Europe. That's how that symbol was formed, and we called that to the attention of the group. But what I wanted to share with you is that on September 20th, so that's a week from this next Tuesday, on PBS, there's a Ken Burns film called The Sharps War. Okay? It's about Martha and Waitstill Sharp, who, he's a Unitarian minister from Wellesley, Massachusetts, and he was actually sort of the first, in a way you call him missionary, but emissary there from the service committee, forming the service committee. So the Sharps, Martha and Waitstill Sharp, they just decided they were going to go to Europe and see what they could do. And they were there as the Germans marched into Prague in Czechoslovakia. And if you look at the symbol, the USC adopted the flaming chalice in 1941. It was designed by a painter and musician named Hans Deutsch, who was a refugee who worked in the Lisbon office that the Sharps had established. And he'd done it for about 6 months before immigrating to the US. And this was the first use of the flaming chalice by the denomination. So if you think about it, we think of it as a big deal, but it was just individuals doing their thing. And it was Hans Deutsch saying, he might have been asked, you know, by Waitstill Sharp, bake me a pie. But he said, I'll create a chalice. So Becky made me a pie. It's not going to last for 80 years. But so there, I handed out a brochure, and a couple of them back there, of programs to this crowd of 170 people to tell them about what we do and some of our homemade goodness. And on the front of that, or inside that just a little bit, and I held up to them, is the workshop we're going to be doing on Tuesday on the subject of race. You've sat there wondering, what can I do around issues of race? Well, this is what you can do. You can bring yourself forth to this workshop here on Tuesday night. It's about Hendersonville. It's homemade. Reverend Michael Carter, Reverend Judy Long, and I are going to be doing that Tuesday, 6 to 8. And I also have to thank the choir for adjusting to that blip in the schedule. But again, it's that working together so that we can make the pie. We're also going to be offering conversations. We're also going to be participating in the Moral Monday March that's going to be on October 24th in Pack Square in Asheville. In that same brochure, you can just keep looking at things. Unitarian Universalism in your own words. There's an explanation there too, and I was going to say more, but I won't, about this. But we've changed our notion of religious education, sort of that separateness of the education and classes, to family ministry. So then it's not about just them and us, it's about everybody doing this together. How are we together? We held our first sort of kickoff for that at Southern Appalachian Brewery. You talk about homemade goodness. We had a taco truck come, and so we bought food from the taco truck. We had the beer, the brewery opened for us. We all interacted as families and children and older people, and we're going to do more of that. I sort of want to say something about, we had a taco truck on the corner, but it really wasn't on the corner. But that's, again, that sense of making what we're seeking and of homemade goodness. I have a friend, an old friend who's suffering from depression. I have a young friend who's suffering from anxiety. I have another friend who's struggling through a divorce. And you say, how does this apply to them? We tend to want to fix it. We want to get it right. But what does everybody in those situations really need, even as we're trying to figure out what can make it better? What did you say, Vicky? Love. Homemade goodness. That's homemade goodness. Even if you can't fix it or you're not sure, you hold it in that homemade goodness. One friend recovering from an accident, another from an illness. Homemade goodness. What if you asked yourself, what is in your life that needs some homemade goodness? Needs you to bake the pie. Needs you to ask for one from a friend to have them bake it. Or needs you to show up where they make them to share with you. Speaking of homemade goodness, Todd Hoke said, I'll bring some to today. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but you have to figure out where it goes in the meal. So this is Todd's homemade goodness.
The other idea
while he's setting up that I think we should do is we should do something with pies where each of us bakes a pie, our own pie. In other words, makes a pie and brings it. Now, I realize the competition in you pie bakers is getting cranked. But what if we all brought pies and we could buy them if we wanted, but share?
September
24th, pie. Pies.
Jem had told me the little bit about the kids making a silence and the notion of instead of us coming to church that we're making a community, and I loved that idea. And went home and told Meg that I had said I would play a song, and what song should I now play? And she told me I'd already written one, so this is that song. And it's a sing-along, hopefully. We'll see. There's a man that I know. He's got hope in his pocket. Hope in his pocket. He ain't got nothing else. Man that I know, and he's got hope in his pocket, hope in his pocket, and nothing on the shelf. And he sings, do remember me, oh Lordy. Woman that I know, she's got love in her eyes, child. Love in her eyes, child. She ain't got nothing else. Woman that I know, and she's got love in her eyes, child. Love in her eyes, child. And nothing on the shelf. And she sings, do remember me, oh Lord. Hey, remember me. Well, his kids, I know they got joy in their smile, boys. Joy in their smile, boys, and they ain't got nothing else. Kids that I know, and they got got joy in this smile, boys. Joy in this smile, boys. Nothing on the show. And they say, do remember me, oh Lordy. Hey. Now these people that I know, this hope keeps me going, and her love keeps me glowing, and their joy keeps me warm. These people that I know, and the gifts they're bestowing, they carry me through trouble, and they shelter me from storms. When I sing, do remember me, oh Lord. Hey, remember me. Do remember me, oh Lord. Remember me. Last chance. Do remember.
Whether or not we find room in our theologies for the word God. I knew it. Well, it's just as well, because Todd just saved you from me cutting a slice out of that and taking a bite in front of you. Imagine that. It does smell good. Whether or not we find room in our theologies for the word God, the world itself calls us to imagine ourselves essential to this engaged holiness, bringing forth what is ours to give of creation and strength toward mending the broken world, bringing our homemade goodness. That's hope that touches our